that, by the way, I was a lot less aware of
it. I would have hated the portion of the video. Anyway, it was not a hard straight
through. All I did was walk across the park. I speak to a group of individuals that had ministry opportunities right next door to you. Doesn't have to be the fire department. To be anything. I had to open my eyes to see the department that was right in front of me and the reality of the market was right in front of me. But,
I wanted to show that video just to encourage you that Jesus is calling you to do whatever it is that you desire to do. All right, so we're going to continue with our series in the last day. By the way, thank you so much for being here. This is our final night here, and this is my final night where we head off a little more away from back home. But I want to say thank you. Watching VA, you all have been amazing, and I might call it a king of compliments. There is one way that you can get back to me. You can email my boss, Nate Howard, at TX. So, if you want to take a screenshot and send him an email, please, subject@york, and you are welcome to say whatever you want in it. Remember, there's two E's in heretic and one P in apostate. So, send him an email, subject@york, and I would love to know what you say to him. So, I'll leave that up for another 10 seconds. Oh, this is going to be awesome. Alright, we're going to continue the life of David as we continue this series. And it's been a wonderful series, and we're going to close tonight with Nathan and David. And I hope that as we have gone through this series, that you are beginning to see how David, his story, weaves in and out of your story. How this man after God's own heart, who had valley highs and or mountain highs and high lows, but the individual that you can relate to. And as the story continues, that you will also see him here tonight. Let's get into it. Tonight, literature, where are my literature folks? Who loves to read? Where are my readers? Where do you not read? Yeah! You know what? It's one of the hardest things being a not reader being a pastor, because all of the pastors are like, what are they? What are you going for? The Spider-Man count? I read 17. Anyway, from my list of folks out there, there is one author that changed the world. It is Shakespeare. William Shakespeare changed the world. You might have heard it, don't you? Romeo and Juliet, Hamlet, Macbeth, Julius Caesar. He changed the world with his plays and books. It's just incredible. And if it wasn't for Julius Caesar, he would never have movies like West Side Story, nor would he have so I would be up at the theater. If I would have thought this, I would have had a flash mob come in here. West Side Story would never be a thing, and Lion King would never be a thing. So both of these stories were taken from William Shakespeare's play. West Side Story, Romeo and Juliet, Lion King, and Hamlet. But one thing he was really good at was Billy Shakes was really good at doing one thing, and that was allowing questions to drive the story. I guarantee you all remember questions. What does the monster do? Is it your hand or a foot or an arm or a face or any other belongings to a man? Oh, be some other name. What's in a name? Romeo and Juliet. In the merchant of Venice. If you prick us, do we not bleed? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? If you poison us, do we not die? And if you walk us, shall we not see your head? And of course, everyone's favorite. The best question anybody ever asked. To be! I feel like it's a skull, by the way. To be or not to be? That's the question. All you like drama folks, you're like, oh, no. Questions are wonderful devices. Questions are amazing. Questions make you speak. Questions make you
dive into answers that ancient thinkers and Billy Shakespeare was so good at doing that. And we're going to see that Billy Shakespeare is not the only one to do that. We're going to see it in our text today. So if you have your Bible, I would love for you to turn to 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. We are going to be introduced to a prophet named Nathan, and he's going to call. By the way, I have seven sermons from the series, and I need or five sermons from whatever how many people from the series. Four, eight, seven. David's story is so rich, and it doesn't stop here. From this point on, we're going to see how he is broken into the family. Tomorrow at the end. He's going to go on from that. He's going to see Absalom destroy the family and the prophet's kingdom. And then we'll see how the family tries to deal with Solomon. It is a nightmare, but the reality is all of it is God's promise to man to my heart.
Well, let's get into the question here. Let's find out what the question is. So, anyway, 2 Samuel chapter 12. The Lord said Nathan to David, and when he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except a little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, grew with him, and his children, and shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in the barn. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and the rich man refrained from taking one of the sheep and cattle to prepare a meal. For the traveler who had come to him said, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to David, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for the lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. And Nathan said to David, you all know. He said, what? You are the man. The last time we saw David, he had gotten away with the murder. Last night we talked about how little small decisions at a steering wheel over there, little small decisions can take you miles off course. And here we see David miles off course. He thinks he's gotten away with the murder. David thought it was done in secret, but God sends Nathan to David. I want to remind you that there's always 100 times better for you to find this, for you to find God in your sin than God to find you in sin. You hear that again? It is always 100 times better for you to find God in your sin than God to find you in your sin. Last night we said it is always better, and here God is going to find David in the midst. How dare the man? Like, oh, he gets so mad. My thing is, David doesn't even know if this is a real story or not. I'm like, David, what are you doing? Like, he doesn't even know. And he burns with anger at this. Oh, surely the man lives in the dark. When the prayer goes, it's over the top. These words are all known all to us. David's the man that you're so angry with. The man that you said had no pity. See, God was silent through that whole affair. God didn't speak one bit, but now God is speaking. Now God has a lot to say on the matter. Because after Nathan called him out, the Lord God, God is going to speak. This is what the Lord God of Israel said. I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you and your master's wives and your arm. I gave you all Israel and Judah, and this has been too little. I would have given you to Israel. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down your eye with his eye with the sword and took his life from your own. You killed him with the sword of the other. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your mouth, because you despised me and took the wife of your eye with his eye with your own.
about Jesus and ask the question, why did you despise me? Why did you despise the work? Why did you despise the Lord? God asked a big question. By the way, does God ever ask this question? He doesn't already know. He answers no. He serves God who knows everything. God answers all those questions. When God asked Adam and Eve, why are you hiding? God always knows the answer. When he said, who touched me? I think it's me. When he asked Judas, you betrayed me, the Son of Man, and kiss? Jesus already knew the answer. God asked this question, not for his own good, but for David. God begins to answer me. I would have given you everything. I would have given you everything your heart desired. All you had to do was come to me, but instead, you despised me. Now, somebody says, now therefore, the total never, never, by the way, God answers his own question. Why did he do it? Because you despise me. Why do you want your participation here? Here's what I need. If you draw me a picture of a farm, you said, why did I turn the clock and tell me how hot it is? It doesn't have to be artwork. We're not going to hang it in the museum. But we're going to get a picture. Well, she's drawing. We're going to look at this verse. God begins to answer his own question. Why did you despise? Why did you do it? I love it when God answers his own questions, because the reality was he made David think about it, and then he tells David really why he did it. If he despised him. We're going to take a look at that word despise. So let's get back to David. You see how you're coming along there? Keep going. You're good. Oh, perfect. Where's it? Down like three more pets. We got this. Perfect. And I'm going to use the stem on that flower. Perfect. I love it. Okay, so here we go. So here's our flower, by the way, right here. Here it is. So in order to understand the word, in order for this to understand the spot, not only that, to despise is to transform the book. Take something that is beautiful and trample it under your feet. That is the word despise. Why do you despise me? Hold on, Andy. Open that feet a little bit. Okay. You understand this? When God says to David, why did you take what was so good and turn it into something so broken? Tonight, we're going to be looking at David, because God asked a big question of all. Why did you take that was so beautiful and trample it? Something that was so good for you and whisk it away. Why did you not come to me when this could have been avoided? Why did you destroy that which is so precious to keep up? You trampled it. Here's what I want you to know. Don't question God's desire for restoration.
Don't question God's desire for restoration in your life. Then David says to David, I've sinned against the Lord. David replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to. By the way, all that about the David, I went back. So, you know, I'll pass some things to you before you tell you, I was happy to do this. We're going to come back to you. I'm not that big of a monster, people. So, I can feel the room. The room is like really bad to me right now. And it's like, you know, it's like, everybody's like, oh. Like, I come to James' bench and give him a kiss for it. And, oh, it's like, and your name powers. Don't press that yet. We have the room. Anyway, let's get back to this. No question God's desire for restoration. David found his faith, but David replied, but David, look at David's response. I've sinned against the Lord. In my mind, just in my mind, I believe that David falls on his face. David falls down, gets on his face, and David says, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because of doing this, you took utter possession of the Lord, and the Son born to you, will die. David was broken. Broken. There's this moment where David had been hiding it for so long, now the beans are spilled, right? Now it's just all out for everyone to see. And now he is just like broken before the Lord. I've sinned against the Lord. There's this brokenness there. And God says, I'm not going to prove it. That meant neither. So. David is going to pay the price, but said, David does not get off the hook. The child will be scooped up into the arms of God. Both David and Bathsheba are on the field of state and losing a child. David will never see peace in the palace again. David is humiliated and will be humiliated with Absalom revolt against his father. David is going to pay the ultimate price. But it's God's desire not to leave David in his broken state. God is going to say, well, David, you're done. It's like, yeah, I'm going to take away your sin. You will pay the price. You and I need to take the sin. There's desire on God's part for restoration. And if God is desiring restoration in your life, don't question it. For David, it went way too long. He couldn't stop at any point. He could not. So just don't, I don't want, my desire is that he don't pay the price today for not coming about it. God desires restoration in your life. And I have some questions I want to ask you. Question number one, do you praise God in your brokenness? Take a look. Verse 15. After the day I got home, the Lord struck down the child and revived the life before the table. David pleaded with God for the child, and he got him to spend the night laying his sack on the ground. The elders of the household stood beside him and picked him up from the ground, and he refused and would not eat any of the food with them. Nathan leaves. He goes. After Nathan had gone home, Nathan goes home. And David is broken. A broken neck fell on the floor. My question is, where's the fool David? Where's the fool David, right? Joab, he died. Say la vie, and this is what, remember we saw David last night when he was having a conversation with his army? The word people die all the time, right? Now David is broken before the Lord. I don't know if I like this David pleads with God for the child. He fasted his night, lying in that cross on the ground. The thing is, David never gave up on God's power to do something wonderful, even in his purpose. You see that? Like, can you imagine God's already said, this is what I'm going to do. But David said, I know who you are. I know what you can do. And in my brokenness, I'm going to cry out to you. How many of us have been so hurt and we blame God and the last person we want to run to is God? And David knows what's going on. David, God has already said over what is going on. And David still believes in the power and the glory of God to do the amazing work, even in his brokenness. And I thank God here for doing the work of God among us. David answered when they asked him. He said, by the way, this is one of the most absolutely the book of Paul was gone about that. But, you know, the Lord being gracious to me, and let the child live, and what if I have years, he has to say, I can no longer go to the sun. He can no longer go to the sun. He can no longer go to the sun. Any time you ever consult a mom and her husband just has lost a child, this is just one of those paths.
Anyway, look what he said. The Lord may be gracious to me. Can you believe, even in his brokenness, he never doubted God's ability to be gracious to him. He said, I don't know, maybe in his graciousness, he might do this.
The thing that David did not do is throw his theology out the window and start again. And how many of us, the first thing that goes out the window when we're going through the rough path is our theology? He knows he might be gracious. Psalm, have mercy on me, O God, according to your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Why do I feel like we are always on the like the verge of giving God an eviction notice when we're going through a hard time? Like as soon as it begins to hit the fan, God, again, you go now. Like you turn it up. He didn't make the right one. He's trying to leave you up. Can we praise God in our brokenness? Can we say, God, I will not stop believing in who you are? Even in the midst of my penalty for sin, I will say, God, I will never forget who you are. I will never forget how you showed your compassion. That even when we're broken, we can still praise God. David did. You can't do it. And I don't know what it is that you might be going through, but the reality is God is still here and he is present. David wrote a beautiful psalm, something important. He says, I am close to the broken heart and save those who are crushed in the spirit. In our brokenness, he is close and saves those who are crushed. I think this kind of meets that criteria. How do you do that? Can you praise God? Question number one, can you praise God in your brokenness? Number two, can you see the blessing among the heartache? In the seventh day, the child died. David contends for the praise of heaven. The child is dead, but while the child is still living, he would listen to it. And how can we tell him? The child said, he might do something desperate. They're afraid to tell David that the child is dead because they're afraid that David himself is going to do something very, very drastic. He answered, while the child was alive, I passed him back. I thought he was going to be but that's 23. But now that he is dead, why should I go and pass him? Can I bring him back? I will go get him, but he will not return. This is one of the most beautiful verses in all of the world. If there's any parent in here who doesn't want the child, it's one of the most reaffirming and beautiful passages I've ever felt. That child did not have to go through the troubles that we experience in life. That child will not have to go through the Absalom, Tamar, Ammon, craziness, and poor Tamar. This child will be spared from the life of heartache and pain. He is instantaneously brought to be with God. David takes the seed of blessing even in the midst. Nothing's going to bring that. Nothing's going to bring that. But one day, others will see it. It's a blessing in the heart. David was able to see the blessing beyond the pain. How many of us, when we are in the midst of just the worst heartache and pain, and things don't go our way, or we are bogged down with sorrow, that we cannot see anything else but our pain? And David was able to see. He's not going to have to do it. David was able to see the blessing beyond the pain. Probably so hard to do. He
you're so focused on a painting that you miss the lesson. The child is there, all the heart of the pain of the world, the sin of the world. Brought up in a great family that is just chaos, but yet the bright from the past is heart of the moment, or the blessing from the heart. The same God is actually working in your life. Maybe there's something you're going through right now, and all you can focus right now is on the pain, the heartache. I don't want to see anything else. I don't want to hear anything else. I don't want to hear what that guy is saying because I'm so focused on my heartache and my pain. I don't want to see the blessing, and the reality is there's a God who is still gracious, who is still on the throne, and who is still desiring the closure that you would ever imagine, even in the midst of your pain. He does not stop. In fact, he goes further. Can we be people who see the heart of Jesus? Can we be people who see the heart of Jesus? Last point. Look at heaven. David comforted his wife, Bathsheba. By the way, he finally calls her, before this passage, David calls her Uriah's wife. The wife of Uriah. Finally, now that the sin is paid for, now that it's over, God took away the sin, now finally, the cause of all the father writes, this is David's wife, Bathsheba. He went to her, and he loved her, and he gave her to a son. And they made him Solomon. The Lord loved him. And because the Lord loved him, they sent word to make him a prophet, and made him better. Now, Solomon, finally, is it sound familiar to anybody here? Ever heard that name before? Wisest guy who ever lived? Richest guy that ever lived? This is him. David cannot do what happened. He had to lose. This is not easy. How many of us cannot forgive ourselves for something that we do? We're so wrapped up in our own self that we can't even forgive. God has forgiven us, but we can't forgive ourselves. And we carry it around like it's just a ball and chain with us. But yet God desires freedom. David's going to pay the penalty. He himself can't ever fuss about that. But the reality is he's still king. He's got a job to do. He's got a purpose and a plan. God put him there for a reason. And he's holding on to the past. He will never find his future. David had to move forward. And so do we. Because God has a plan and a purpose to do that. God brought David to his gates to lift him up and to bless him. David's going to leave this moment. A person who is drawn closer to God. You read Psalm 51. You cannot just read that Psalm without seeing a man who's been broken and restored by the Lord. Bless me with a hyssop and I will be as white as snow. Make me foes that you have crushed. Sing the joy of your salvation. This is Psalm 51, which he wrote about David and himself. And God's future for David is to have the wisest man who ever lived in his family, not to mention a savior for them. David's life was not over. In fact, the beginning of fresh is God. Tonight, some of us are holding on to things where God is actually trying to restore and bring back the relationship. But we're holding on to things and guilt and pain and heartache. We can't let go, and we're missing out what God has for us because we're holding on to the past and not seeing what's ahead. David, he's going to go ahead with something new. What is that? See, the reality is, what God does is He takes our brokenness,
our heartache, our pain, everything that we are in here. And it's His desire to bring about something. What once was broken and trampled and despised was made into something beautiful. This morning, God wants to do the first thing. This evening, God wants to do the exact same thing for you. If you're staring at a ripped up, crumpled up, despised piece of paper, and God is not happy with where you are, and He wants to turn it into something beautiful. David said, hey, I hope you enjoy it when I walk away. God wants to use your foot for something beautiful to happen. And so if you identify more with a crumpled up piece of paper and don't see your value and your worth and where God is taking you, tonight when we get an opportunity to see that God will take you and your brokenness. And you do not question God's desire for you. To heal you tonight. To fix you tonight. We serve a healing God, amen? I'm pretty sure that's one of the fourfold gospels. I'm pretty sure that's something we're pretty strong about that. We serve a healing God, right? We're alive people. We serve a healing God, right?
Yes.
Right? Savior sanctified, healer and loving thing. And God wants to bring a healing work in your life. It might not be physical, it might be emotional. It might be intellectual. It might be spiritual. And so if you're a broken, crumbled up piece of paper, the opportunity exists for you to be made into something beautiful. All you have to do is find a broken. And that's the restoration. He's writing that story. He's got a beautiful future ahead of him. It's going to take our response to come up with a word. If you want to spend some time with God here tonight, to allow Him to make something beautiful out of something broken, this is an opportunity. If you want to find yourself with a bright future ahead of you, even in the midst of heartache and pain, God wants to do that work. If you want to see God in the midst of your, if you want to see a blessing in the midst of pain, all you have to do is ask God who to serve. And if all you can focus is on the heart of God, He can show you what He's doing here tonight. Tonight's opportunity to be blessed. And so I invite you to use any space that you want to take. If you're broken here today, do not leave me. This is my last night with him. Here, so invite you to be a pure word. But don't leave him. Feeling broken, feeling the weight of pain, sin, we're focusing on the wrong thing rather than focusing on what God wants to do. God is going to write a beautiful story in David. David, he will always be remembered as a man after God's own heart and had nothing to do with his actions that had to do with what he was doing. So many people have a problem with David with an adulterer, a murderer, and yeah, you have to remember God will see it all in public here. And God is looking through this person, through you, and calling you to a place. If you can take your heart of self, your hard, cold, nasty, smart of self, right? I wish I didn't have the opportunity. I wish I could have had this college, and I had so many colleges for me to do a beautiful gem show to go ahead. The reality is, God is turning hearts like this in the heart of Moses. For you to be your opportunity that God's calling you. And that's the ultimate come up and have a conversation with God. If there's a pastor here that you know or want to talk to you, do that. If you're a pastor yourself, come on up, let's just do the work for the Lord. Let's find our place of restoration here.
weak. Do not leave this place, the only place where God is moving amongst us. And he restores the structure of people that he will use for his glory. God is the one that will be the glory. So we're going to be in a place of the glory. We're here on you this moment. This is the only place that takes place to use it for God's glory. And I would ask that the pastor to come out and pray for the Lord. There's ladies that might come up and feel their personal relationship. But be not like people. Be not swan to come where God wants to be. Find work and bring about a beautiful future.